If you would, I'm going to stop our study of the book of Hebrews because it's Communion Sunday, and I'm going to go back. I usually try to find a passage, but I decided to go back to one of the basic passages of communion. And give it a understanding that has been in many ways greatly misunderstood. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 17. The early church consisted of poor people. The vast majority of the church were poor people. As a matter of fact, James said that the poor were chosen to be rich in faith, and there weren't many rich people. The poor people are rich in faith. In the early church, had a sense of community, of family. And when they met together, they would celebrate the Lord's Supper. I'll never forget Moshe Rosen when he founded Jews for Jesus and became a Christian. He said, "They invited me to the Lord's Supper. I thought it was going to be like Passover." He came into this Baptist church thinking that there would be all sorts of lamb and a nice meal. And what did he get but this little thimble of grape juice and this tiny piece of bread? And I roared when he said that. Because the early church was poor, the more prosperous members would share with the less fortunate, and they would have, at least make sure that they would have for that meal, a meal where there would be enough food for all in the congregation. You know, today you go to Vaughn's, you go to Pavilions, you go to... Have you ever noticed the miracle of the shrinking bag at your grocery stores? The government tries to lie to you and tell you there's no inflation. Have you ever seen the bags of chips, the bags of pretzels, anything that you shouldn't be eating? I know you're eating it. Have you noticed the incredible shrinking bags? What they're doing is they're not raising the prices as much as they're lowering the quantity. The actual inflation rate has got to be at least 33%. Especially now that we've had the very bad crop development of this last year. So you go in there and look at the little bag. They look like the little bags you used to buy at the 7-Eleven when you just wanted a little bit. That shows you, number one, disappearing food, and also the high inflation, because they're flooding the world with dollars. If there are plenty of dollars in the world, the dollars are worth less. In those days, there were famines where people would go without food for long periods of time. So the church wanted to make sure of one thing. When they came together to celebrate what Jesus Christ did, there was one meal where everybody would have enough. And just like when good things go good, they go good, but you know what happens? We're all fallen creatures, aren't we? Let's be merciful to one another. We're all fallen creatures. None of us are perfect. But look what it says in verse 17. "I do not praise you in giving you this instruction, because you come together," and what he means is you come together for that one meal where everybody wanted to make sure that there was enough food at least for that day for those precious Christians. "When they came together, you came together for the worse." How about that? Here is a first century church that when they came to have that meal, they started out well, and then guess what happened? It went bad at communion. For in the first place, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. Now, he's not talking about necessarily doctrinal divisions here. He's talking about how people were handling communion. And Paul says there have to be divisions among you so that those who are right may be evident. There are going to be divisions in church. This is one division we don't want, is how we handle communion. Therefore, when you meet together, you're not meeting to eat the Lord's Supper. Well, what, I thought you were supposed to have a common meal so to make sure that everybody... It degenerated. In your eating, each one of you takes his own supper first. Now, here's what happened. These people were starving people. They didn't go down to the 7-Eleven, to the grocery store, and have all the abundance. Go to Costco and have 20 pounds of chips. That's why Sandy and I go to Costco now. Those bags haven't reduced as much as the little bags now. What happened was this. People would come in, and then food was scarce, and they'd say, let's get ours before anybody else can get theirs. And so people were coming into the Lord's Supper, and before everybody got assembled, everybody was eating it all before other people got in. And some have even suggested that the rich people were bringing the food, and they made sure they got theirs before the poor people. What do you think the world would think? What do you think the world thinks when Christians act the way they do? How many testimonies are ruined by the way people who claim to know Jesus act? One is hungry, so they grabbed. They wolfed it down. They were hungry and starving. And look what it says. And another is drunk. And guess what they served at their communal meal? Grape juice, that's right. No, it was wine. The Bible never says anything about wine. It talks about drunkenness. Now, if you have a tendency to alcohol, don't do it. But if you don't, there is freedom. It's only these fundamentalist idiots that want to make up these rules. Jesus went to a wedding and guess what he served? The best. 180 gallons of it. I don't particularly care for the taste. I like grape juice myself, but nonetheless. What? Verse 22, do you not have houses in which to drink or eat? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? There it is. The people were grabbing food, and when the poor people came in to get the only meal that they probably would have a chance of getting that week was starving. Everybody, by the time the poor people got there, they were shaming the poor by, the food was all gone. What shall I say to you? Should I praise you? No, I won't. So they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. How? In gluttony and drunkenness. What do you think this is? Do you know? You know how Hebrews teaches about the Jesus' sacrifice? He warned Jews, don't you dare go back to that old system. You crucify afresh the Son of God. Well, there's another bad thing you can do, and that's you can dishonor God by how you conduct communion. That's key. They were getting what? They were getting drunk and neglecting people that needed food. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you in the night in which he was betrayed. And when he had given thanks, he broke the bread. What were they doing there? They were eating a supper. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the Lord's Supper is to honor the Lord's sacrifice, you better be real careful what you do in the Lord's Supper. He took the cup. The cup there is the third cup of the Passover Seder. And they all drank out of that same cup. They'd pass it around. The alcohol killed the germs. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. For as often as you eat this drink and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. And listen to me, that's key. Communion is what? A message, a testimony what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that doesn't mean we can't celebrate it with a meal and have fellowship together, but it's the misconduct of it that got these people into trouble. And then in verse 21 is where I'm going, because everybody that's gone to a church has heard a misappropriation of this. Therefore, he says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. How many of you have ever heard the Baptist preacher say, we need to confess our sins before we have communion? That is not what that verse is saying. That verse is saying, if you in the conduct of communion have dishonored God by gluttony and drunkenness, you have dishonored the blood of Jesus Christ. He is not talking about... Who could? It's great to confess your sins before communion, but listen to me, we're celebrating that those sins have already been taken care of. What the writer is talking about is, if you're going to have the Lord's Supper, you better not be gluttony and drunkenness in your conduct, or you dishonor what Jesus Christ did. Maybe that's why we've gone this way. So there's no supper to avoid. I don't know. It's just too bad for that. The unworthy manner is not talking about individual sin. The unworthy manner is talking about when you conduct this, you better honor the body and blood of Jesus Christ and not be doing it in drunkenness and gluttony. Let a man examine himself, and in doing so, eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. If he does not judge the body, how it's being conducted in the church correctly. Now, some of you, some churches, I know the Plymouth Brethren, they celebrate communion every time they meet. We celebrate it once a month. Others celebrate it once a week. I don't know. That's not what he's talking about. And I don't care how you celebrate it. You're to do it frequently, but it doesn't specify. But what it is saying is, when the Lord's communion is conducted and we proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection, it better be honored in the manner in which we conduct it. And never treat the precious blood and sacrifice of Jesus in any way but uplifting and glorifying in how we do it. Now that's what this is saying. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. That doesn't mean they got after gluttony tired. That meant that when you dishonor the body and blood of Jesus Christ through drunkenness and gluttony, when you're conducting it, the Lord can visit that person sleep. Here means God sometimes took them home to heaven so that they wouldn't dishonor Christ. But if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Guess what? Don't judge the other person. Jesus said, judge not lest you what? That's what I don't like about fun. Here we go. With the Pastor Dave on his rag of fundamental. That's what I don't like. Number one, it's self-righteous. And number two, they judge everybody else but themselves. You want to judge somebody? Look in the mirror. Amen. It's easier to judge the other guy. And when you judge the other guy, you're not thinking about yourself. But all I see fundamentalists doing is look at the other person. Oh, look at that. And that way, when they're pointing that way, nothing's pointing toward them. Judge yourselves. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so we will not be condemned. So then, brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. What was going on? The food was set out. Let's get ours! The drink was set out. Hurry up before those rabble-rousing poor get in here, or whatever was going on like that. God said, don't you dare dishonor Jesus Christ in that manner. If anyone was hungry, Let him eat at home. If you're that hungry and you can't wait for others, don't bring your potluck.
So that you will not come together for judgment.
So, how many of you have heard the old preachers say, and I read Spurgeon's sermon last night, same thing. Spurgeon was wrong. But you see, a lot of people parrot what they hear just because that's what they hear. It's not wrong to prepare your heart to take communion. But what Paul is talking about is when you take the Lord's Supper, you better honor Jesus Christ and His death and exalt Him. And don't you dare bring any disrespect to how you conduct it.